Lord, we thank you that you never stop working, Lord. Even when we don't feel it, you're working, Lord. And God, we thank you that you are God that we can trust. And that's definitely a God that we need today. So much going on in the world today, Lord. We thank you that you're a way maker, Lord. Find a way to bring peace. Find a way to bring salvation into the heart of your children. Find a way to bring love and kindness and joy and peace through Jesus Christ. Let the body of Christ stand up today. Let the voice of Christ be heard today through his believers, Lord. Find a way, Lord. Keep working in us. Even when we don't see it, you're working, and we need you, Lord, today more than ever. So much going on. Work through us. Make a way, Lord. Make a way for the church to be heard in the midst of everything that's going on today. Make a way for those that are born again believers in Jesus Christ to speak up, to be heard, so the voice of the Lord can be heard and God can be glorified and the people can be edified. God, we ask these things in Jesus' name, and we thank you and we bless you. Amen. Well, family, want to thank you so much for your giving. Want to thank you so much for your giving, your constant investment into the ministry and what we do as we go out and we try and bring Jesus Christ to a lost, dying, and dead and decaying world. So we want to thank you for your giving. So for those of you that are giving via laptop, just go to your laptop, click the giving button, and go ahead and give accordingly. If you're giving on your cell phone, pull it up, see the three bars, the website, southbayalc.com. Press the three bars, click the giving, and give accordingly. And then those that are like me and you write a check or money order, you can mail that to 3553. Suite B279, 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B279, Long Beach, California, 90807. Want to invite you all to join us on Wednesday night with our Bible study. We are in 2 Samuel chapter 15. It's been an incredible chapter. It's been an incredible journey. Thank you for those of us that join us. And for those of you who haven't, set some time aside. You don't have to come every Wednesday night, but you might find yourself coming every Wednesday night. But at least once, at least twice a month, come and join us and just dive deep into the Word of God. See how relevant it is from the Old Testament to right now, today, 2020. God is always relevant. And so come and join us on Wednesday nights. And then if you need prayer, you have questions or any prayer requests, prayer needs, you can email us at life@southbayalc.com, life@southbayalc.com. We recognize prayer, the privilege that it is to pray for you. And so we want to thank you, those of you who have sent your emails. We have a team of people that are praying for you, including myself, and just really thankful for the opportunity. Just like someone prayed for us when we were either sick or needed healing or just needed direction. Someone prayed for us and interceded for us, and God was faithful. So we know that prayer does change things. So we ask you to don't hesitate to send that prayer in, and we will take it before God and watch God work out the results of the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman. Also, I want to let the members know, those of you that the members, that we have a members meeting today at 2 o'clock. And so your team lead or your inReach leader should have texted you or emailed you the Zoom coordinates for the members meeting. If you haven't received them, then email us at life@southbayalc.com. life@southbayalc.com will get you the Zoom coordinates for our 2 o'clock members meeting. We'll talk about what it will look like when we reopen, and we'll get your suggestions and your recommendations on just how things are going and what you would like to do or see within the ministry and how you can be a part of what God is doing in 2020. So please, all members, it's not going to be longer than an hour, let's say 30 minutes, and then we'll have Q&A, and that'll be it. But it's very informative, and it's really necessary for us to meet today at 2 p.m. Amen. So we're going to jump right into the Word of God. And I do want you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 30. We're going to go ahead and jump into the Word. And I'm going to let you know now, we will be all over the place. Going to try and paint a picture of Christ being the Good Shepherd. We've been talking about singing, suicide, and salvation. Today we talk about salvation. And the jailer asks, what must I do to be saved? And before we even get to that point, we need to recognize why do we need to be saved? I'm not going to ask, what do I need to do to be saved, if I don't know why I need to be saved, that I even need to be saved at all. So that's what we're going to dive deep into. So take out your Bibles, your physical Bible, and your notebook, your pen, your pencil, take notes. I'm telling you, you want to take notes today. As I always tell you, I have notes on my notes. So God's always speaking, and I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. So I write it down. I'm going to do a lot of reading because I want to give it to you just like God gave it to me. So let us pray before we get into the Word. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for your Word, Lord. Thank you, God, that in the midst of everything that's going on, we have your Word, Lord. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, God, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, dead, and decaying world, God. Thank you for leaving the blueprint. Thank you for leaving the map, Lord, so we know how to act, how to think, how to give, how to forgive, how to love, how to think. It's all in your Word, Lord. Thank you so much for your Word, God. And we bless you because you've blessed us with your Word. We don't have to try and sit around and figure out what to do. It's already been written. And we just have to follow the blueprint. We have to follow what's written in the Word. So, Lord, we ask that you speak to us through your Word, God, right now. We open our hearts, we open our minds to receive what you're speaking to us today. We don't need information, Lord. We need revelation that leads to transformation. This is not a seminar, Lord. We're not here for information, God. Give us your Word. Give us revelation, God, so we can live a transformed life, so we can share the Word with others. God, we need to hear from you this morning as we're in a world that seems to be falling apart and unraveling. God, we need to hear from you this morning. We don't need opinions. We don't need newscasts. We need the Word of God. So bless your people to hear. Bless them to discern. Bless them to understand. God, we need your Word, and we thank you for your Word. Holy Spirit, lead, guide, rule, reign in the hearts of your people. God, give us your wisdom, Lord, right now. We don't want man-made wisdom. We need your wisdom. We need godly wisdom from the true and living God. So we beg, we ask, and we plead for it right now, Lord. And we bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You should have your Bibles open to Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. We've been going over this, the Good Shepherd. We've been doing the series, in the midst of the series, the I Am series. And within the series, we are on the Good Shepherd. And within the Good Shepherd, we're with Paul and Silas in chapter 16 of the book of Acts. And so we're dealing with singing, suicide, and salvation. And so now we're getting to the salvation part. The jailer had thought that Paul and Silas had escaped with the other prisoners. He asked for a light. They sprang in. Then we pick it up in verse 30. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? All of a sudden, the jailer realizes that his life is not as important as his soul. Right. Life as important as it is. Remember, life is temporary. But our soul is eternal. The soul is a part that doesn't dissolve upon death. And so he realized, after he thought he wanted to kill himself, and they told him not to do himself any harm, he realized, okay, my life needs to be changed. Maybe that's you this morning. In the midst of everything that's going on, you're realizing, you know, life is temporary. It's a lot going on. It's not what I thought it would be. And my life needs to be changed. It needs to be transformed. And so he's asking them, what must I do to be saved? What can I do to have my life transformed? What can I do to be rescued? Saved in the Greek, it just means to be rescued. How can you rescue me from the life that I'm living that's going nowhere? And they offer him Jesus Christ. And so as we dive deep into that, before I answer the question, what must I do to be saved? We've talked about this. We have to answer the question, why do I need to be saved? Family, why do you and I need to be saved? What's wrong with the current state of us that we're in now that I need to be rescued? What do I need to be rescued from? We need to be rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. We need to be rescued from life that we have here. And when we transition, that life passes away and then we transition into eternity. So we need to be rescued. So when we transition to eternity, we transition with Jesus Christ into paradise. So we need to be rescued because we're all going to transition. It's not if, it's just a matter of when. And so that's why we have to start thinking past life. And for those of us that are older, you know, we think about it quite often because we're older now. We know that we have the concept that we have lived longer than we will live. Those of us that are 50 plus, we've lived longer than we will live. We don't know if we'll get another 50, but we might be in that place now where we have lived longer than we will live. So we have to think about not only this life, but what comes next. So that's the question we all have to ask ourselves, because we know people die at different ages every day. So we have to prepare, because once you transition, it is too late. And I'll show you in the scriptures, it's too late. When you're standing before God, you have to make the choice before then, because once you stand before God, it's too late to make the decision. So why do I need to be saved? That is a question we all need to ask ourselves. Because if you don't think you need to be saved, then you will never ask the question, how do I be saved to be rescued? And for the last several weeks, we've been talking about the systemic sin that we are in, the syndemic. They're talking about a pandemic, which is a global disease, but we're talking about a syndemic, which is a global condition of the soul. And we're in the midst of that. That's number one why we need to be saved, because we were born into a syndemic. And it manifests itself in many ways, which we'll talk about in a few. In John 3:3, Jesus said, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of heaven. So we've been born once, and so that's why Christ said it. You've been born once, but you're born into the syndemic. You're born into the systemic sin. And so you got to be born again. Make a note, you got to be born again of spirit and of water. Of water, because it cleanses us from all our sin. And then from the spirit, being born again of spirit, because that's the mindset and the heart set. So now you become a new creation in Christ. So you got to be born again, cleansed with the water and the word of Christ, and then the spirit of Christ. And then having your mind transformed and your heart transformed so you can do the will of God. So we got to be born again through spirit and water. And then once we're born again, make a note, it's in Mark 8:34. And that's when we have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow Christ. What do I do after I'm saved? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow Christ. And so then you can start living for God. But those are the first two steps, to be born again through Christ and then following Christ. And you have to deny yourself, because the self always wants to do what it wants to do. Even after you've been saved, the self still wants to do its thing. And you got to deny it. Pick up your cross. It's a narrow, difficult road, as it's told in Matthew chapter 7. And then we pick up our cross, we follow Christ, and that's by getting into his word. So we all need to be born again. We all need to be rescued, because the only cure for our sins, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 makes that clear. The only cure for sin is Christ. The cure is Christ. The only cure for this lost and dying world is Jesus Christ. We're in the midst of a syndemic. So Christians, we have to discern the deception that's out there. It's a lot going on. Some good things, some bad things doesn't necessarily mean it's a God thing. So you have to discern. Ask God for wisdom. God, what do I get involved in? How do I share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's our number one priority as Christians, as born again Christians. If we're going to march for anything, make a note. On the Via de la Rosa, Christ marched for us. Make a note. He carried that cross on the Via de la Rosa. Some of us have been there before we saw the road. And those stones on that road are still over 2,000, the exact same stones that Christ walked on, over 2,000 years old. He marched on that Via de la Rosa to Calvary to be crucified. Christ marched for our sins so we could be saved from our sins. In the midst of all this marching, who's marching for Christ? And born again Christians and mature Christians, if we're not marching for Christ, what are we doing? Christ made the sacrifice and marched for us. Is anybody going to stand up and speak up and march for Christ, for salvation, for the lost? Is anyone going to do it? Because we're all cursed under this systemic sin that we're born in. And to break the curse, we must be born again. You got to commit your life to Christ to be transformed today. The cure to all of mankind's ills is Jesus Christ. People are out marching, and I get that. But I'm saying, as Christians, we won't even march to our neighbor's house to share Christ with them. Christ marched for us. When are we as mature Christians going to make Christ and the will of God a priority and immediately start sharing the love of Christ to all that we encounter? When are we going to make it? Everybody's out marching. When are we going to stand up? And I'm begging and I'm asking God to show us how to get there and march for him. If we're to march, here's what our sign should say. We are cursed under systemic sin that we all are born in. To break the curse, we must be born again. Commit your life to Jesus Christ today and live a transformed life. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We must be born again. In Christ, we can forgive and live eternally in paradise. Let me say it again. If you see pastor out there, this is the sign that I'm carrying. We are cursed under systemic sin that we all are born in. To break the curse, we must be born again. Commit your life to Jesus Christ today and live a transformed life. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We must be born again. In Christ, we can forgive and live eternally in paradise. That's the sign that we need to be carrying something to that effect. So let's go a little bit deep. Let's go deep. Let's go deep. We're going to get a little deep, but not complicated, family. So I'm going to ask my Facebook family, help me evangelize this morning. Go on and push the share button for your friends and family so they can hear the word of God this morning and how clear the scriptures are. So let me say it again. Let's go deep, but not complicated. Oh. I want you to share this with your friends and family. Help me evangelize. Go on and Facebook family, go on and push your share button now. The scriptures are very clear. You and I can't do enough good deeds that we erase the sin that we were born into. Let me say it again. The scriptures are clear. We can't do enough good deeds to erase the sin that we were born in. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, how do I have to make it plain for you again? The sin that we're born in, the greed, the envy, the jealousy, the deception, the ego, the lust, serving false God, worshiping false idols, disobedience, rebellion, insecurity, following the horoscope. Let me pause right there. And for my born again Christians, please, one thing you got to do immediately, you got to stop leading your life by the satanic horoscope. It amazes me how people will follow the horoscope as opposed to reading the word of God. Christian, the world's going to do what, I'm not talking to the world right now. I'm talking to Christians. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. But Christians, the Bible specifically speaks against the horoscope and the palm reading and the tarot cards. Why? Because God has already made it plain. Write this down, family, if you're having trouble with that. And if you're having trouble with that, as a pastor, I have to call out all the sin that we're in. Like I said last week, even the ones I struggle with, I'm calling them out. You will not be comfortable in sin underneath this ministry. I can't allow it. God won't allow it. Then I'm not doing my job. But I have to answer to God and not to you. So I'm calling it out. Why am I not following the horoscope? Because in Psalms 139, God has already told me that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That God said he already knew me before I was in my mother's womb. When I was being formed, God said he already knew me. So why am I going to follow anything else other than God? God knew me before I was anything. God had already made you and I something. Let me say it again. Before we were anything, God had already made you and I something. So why are you looking to the horoscope and not the word? In Jeremiah 29, God said he knows the thoughts that he has towards you and I. To give us a hope and a future. What else are you looking for? It's coming from the word of God. In Matthew 6:33, God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Go after God and live right. And everything you're looking for, God's going to add to you. Why are you looking at the horoscope and not reading the word of God? In Romans 8:31, God makes it clear, if God be for us, who can be against us? In Romans 8:28, God said he works it all together for good. So let me ask you again, why are you following a satanic horoscope? Why are you leading your life by it? Why are you being captured? Why are you being wooed by the satanic horoscope as opposed to the word of God where God has made it plain? Then finally, there's so many other scriptures I can share with you. Email me at life@southbayalc.com and I'll tell you all the promises of God that God has given to us in his word. I look to the word every day. I'll never look to it. And when folks try and ask me what sign I am, no, I'm the sign of the cross. I'm the sign of the empty tomb. And I'm weird, okay? I get weird with them and they leave me alone. But what's your birthday? I'm not telling. Don't worry about that. And if you really want to get technical, we can be what? B-A-N-C. I guess if you spell that, it'd be something like bank. Your sign at the bank? No. Born again, new creature. That's my sign. I'm a born again, new creature. I'm not getting slapped. You're not going to slap that on me. And from when we were kids, Satan made sure we got slapped. Oh, you're born on this day. You're this sign. You're that sign. Gets caught up right away. Break the curse of sin. Don't put that on your kids. Get that off of your kids right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm calling out all the sin. That's why we must be born again. That's why we need to be saved, because it's all around us, because we were born in it. It's systemic. It's a syndemic. Amen. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your ways and he will direct your path. Why would I look to anything else but God's word? Come on, family. I got to call them out. I can't have us in the midst of all this going on. I can't have you running to the newspaper or to your computer or your laptop looking to see what your horoscope says and how you're going to live your life. It's already been written in the word. Family, I got to call it out. The world's not playing with us. I can't play with you, family. I'm not going to stand here and play with you this morning. I'm not going to stand here and play with you any morning, because as you look around in the world today, the world's not playing. Satan has intensified everything. God shut it down to get our attention. Satan has set it off to distract us. Look around today. It's all around us. I'm not going to play with you. So all the sin, the horoscope, the murder, the adultery, the lies, the fornication, the pornography, the drugs, I'm calling them out, the drunkenness, the arrogance, the pride, the hatred, all symptoms of systemic sin that we're born in. And these are all the internal things that scream daily that we need to be saved. And you can deny them all you want to, but they scream daily. From the minute we wake up to the time we go to sleep, they're screaming, I need to be saved. I got to deal with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these daily and keep my body under subjection through the word of God, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I don't live a defeated life. I live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. Because Christ has broken the curse of sin. He's broken it through the power of his Holy Spirit. So I don't have to participate in stuff that doesn't agree with my spirit. In the name of Jesus, and doesn't agree with the word of God. Make a note, Romans 3:23 says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Take a look with me. Come on, let's go to, the scriptures can say it a lot better than I can. Let's go to Psalms 14. Let me give you the word now. Pastor, you up here talking. I know, but let me give you the word. It's all based on the word of God. We don't need opinions. We don't need channel 14. We need Psalms 114 to make it clear this morning. If you're there, say amen. Psalms 14, 1 through 3. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's a lot of fools out there, family. There's a lot of fools out. Stay away from the fools. So I'm saying you just can't be out there just getting caught up, marching next to a fool. It's going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. Because the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. That included you and I before we were born again. They're not doing good. Look at verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven. So make a note, God is not on our level. People always want to reduce God to their level. Well, why this? Why that? God's not on your level. God is looking down from heaven. You've never been there before. The pride got Satan kicked out of heaven, and the pride is going to keep you from getting into heaven. Because you've already said in your heart, there is no God. I'm telling you, family, click the share button and share this. People need to hear this message this morning. The pride keeps us out of heaven because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said, why is God this? Why is God that? And God's in heaven looking down. And we can't even keep a job. We can't even balance our checkbook. We can't do anything without the help of God. And we're trying to act like we're on God's level. We're not. Make a note, the fool said in his heart, there's no God. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men. He looked down on mankind to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Is there anybody out? And he's talking about before we were born again. Is there anybody out there seeking God? No, we weren't. No, we weren't seeking God. The message came to us. We didn't run to the message. God's looking down. It's no one. Look at verse 3. They are all gone aside. They are all together. Everyone, all of us, become filthy, corrupt. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's why we need to be saved. And you can say what you want to say, that I'm good. I'm not as bad as the person that's next to me. The word is clear. The word is even more clear. Turn with me to Isaiah 64. Let's go to Isaiah 64. And we're going to make it even clearer. I want you to see it for yourself. Isaiah 64, verse 6. So look at what the scriptures say. I love God's word because I don't have to make anything up, and you put it in context and you read it and you share it and you exegete the text. You try and make it clear so it's practical, so people understand what God's word is saying, and then they can live it. Right? So here we go. Here's Isaiah talking about us, the prophet, sharing what God sees. But we are all as an unclean thing, all. And so it talked about the whole unit. When I looked it up in the Hebrew, it said the whole unit, everything, all of us are defective. So before we became born again, we were defective. Defective because we came off the assembly line, the prototype Adam and Eve committed the sin. And so now we're descendants of that sin, which started the syndemic. And so we're defective. All the units, that includes you, that includes me, and everyone else we see until we're born again. Remember, when we're born again, we're cleansed with water and with the Spirit of God in the supernatural. All right, let me read, and I'm going to make it plain. But we are all as unclean thing, And all of our righteousness, all the good things that you and I could do, are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. All the good things we do are filthy rags. And then at some point, we're going to fade out. Make a note. We're going to fade out, family. Just like the people before us just faded out. The men and women, make a note of this. Now, I have it somewhere in my notes. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. But there's been many people, many critics of the word of God, many critics of God that are dead in their grave and faded out. Let me say it again. Many critics. The Bible's this, the Bible's that. And you know what happens to them? They die and they fade away and they stand before God. And guess what? The word is still here. The word of God is still here and it talks of them. It says they're fools. Because they said in their heart, there is no God. And then here we are in verse 6. It says, everything, all the good things we could do become like filthy rags and then fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Our sins just blow us further and further away from God. Verse 7, and there is none that calleth upon God's name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us, caused us to melt because of our sins. We can't stand before God with all the sin in our life. Look at verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art the Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we all are the work of your hand. So as we're born again, then God is the potter, we become the clay, and then we let God shape us and mold us so we can look like him. But before that, everything we tried to do was just a filthy rag. Verse 9, don't be angry with us or very sore, O Lord. Neither remember, don't God, please, in the name of Jesus, please don't remember our sin forever. Behold and see, we're begging you, Lord. We are all your people. Those of us that have been born again, we're all God's people. Remember, everyone's created by God, but you only become a children or a child of God when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior and become born again. Take a look back at verse 6, Isaiah 64 and 6. But we are all as unclean thing, all of us, the whole unit. All our righteousness is filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away from God. So here's the revelation. You want to make a note of this. I looked up in the Hebrew, filthy rags, and it was really deep, but not complicated, but it was deep. At first, I thought it was talking about, speaking of like a dirty diaper, a boo-boo diaper. I spoke of that last time, but it was even deeper than that, because it said the rag, it said, was like a covering, and the filth was still like boo-boo. And so instead of it just being a diaper, it says all our works are like boo-boo and it covers us. So let me give you the visual, because some of us have a hard time understanding what Pastor is saying. So here's the visual. Just like we came through the birth canal, this is Pastor speaking, when we transition, I believe we go through the death canal. Then we stand up before God. You're dead, boom, and you wake up and you're standing before God. But what this says, if you're not in Christ, you wake up and you're standing before God just like you've been swimming in a sewer from head to toe with boo-boo. You look like and you smell like you just got out of a sewer, and you come up right before God and you're trying to shake it off, but it's filthy. It's all your works because you haven't been born again. And now you're standing before God, and it's no need for conversation because you look at it. Why am I covered with all this? That's all your works. That's your filth. That's the filthy rags that it talks about. And you say, oh, God, you know, I scored 1,000 baskets in NBA, and God's not impressed. And I hit over 500 home runs. And you say, I was the first millionaire in my family, and you're covered in all this filth. You're trying to impress God. You say, you know, I fed a bunch of orphans during my lifetime. And, you know, I did research and I figured out the cure to this and that. And you're standing before God and you're covered from head to toe in boo-boo and you're stinking. You say, I was a great teacher. Boy, you know how many lives I touched while I was on earth. And God says, depart from me. I never knew you. She'd never been born again. Remember, I told you to make a note. When you're born again through Christ, it says you're cleansed. Look at it. John 3:3. You're cleansed through the water and the Spirit. So when you stand before God in Christ, you've already been cleansed by the water, the Spirit. Your whole attitude changed. And you say, Lord, here I am. And he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom. You don't have to shake it off. It's already been cleansed through Jesus Christ. Our works are like filthy rags. You're going to stand before God. And it doesn't matter who you are, from the greatest to the least. You're going to go through that death canal and you're going to stand before God. Either you're going to be filthy from head to toe with boo-boo, or you're going to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The world's not playing. I'm not playing. That's why it says your works. I don't care what you do. You got to be born again. You're not that good. We're not that good. We were born into a syndemic. It has nothing to do with us, but everything what Jesus Christ has done. When he got on the cross, he said, it is finished. You don't have to try and impress God. Christ has already finished the work. Just receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's all we have to do. But you're going to say, I'll take my chances. Although God's up there and I'm down here, I'm on his level. And I'm going to do my own thing. And when I stand before God, I'm going to point in his face and I'm going to say, why this, why that? No, you're not. You're going to be standing there stinking, looking bad and smelling bad because all your works, everything that you thought would save you, it's not good enough because you're born into the syndemic. You're born into the systemic sin. And the only thing can break the curse is Jesus Christ. And we have to be born again through the Spirit and through water, supernaturally washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the message we got to take to the world. Because folks are marching and they think they're doing good. They might be doing some good. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying when you stand before God, if you don't have Christ, you're going to be covered from head to toe and you're going to stink. It's going to be bad. And that's the word of God. That's not pastor. That's the word. We have to stand before God. We have to stand before God. No one gets out of this alive. And make a note. That's why it's so important that you remember as we go day to day, the only thing we take to heaven with us is other people. All this other stuff. Well, God, I had a really big house just standing there stinking. Man, you should have saw the cars I had. Yeah, my bank account, man, you really filled it up, Lord. You're standing there stinking. God had nothing to do with that. You never gave it to Christ. Look at Luke. Let's go to Luke. The word's still speaking. Look at Luke. Chapter 13. Let's go to the New Testament. Maybe you think, Pastor, you're in the Old Testament. That was then. Okay, let me show you now. Luke chapter 13. Family, the most important thing we can do with our life, number one, is give our heart and life to Jesus Christ. Number two is go out and share Jesus Christ with others. I don't know if you realize it or not, but this world is falling apart. And what we might call progress is normally not the will of God. I'm just saying, check the word. Our progress comes against the word. Our progress is saving souls. Church, wake up. We got to get in the game. We're on the sidelines right now. We got to get busy. We see the enemy has stepped up his game. We have to step up our game. We got to understand where we are right now. We're on the bench and we have to get in the game and we have to start sharing Jesus Christ with others. March yourself to your neighbor's house. March yourself to your family's house. If you got to do it via Zoom or on the telephone, march over there and just say, hey, I love you. You know, Jesus Christ died for your sins. You know, you need to be born again. It's a lot going on. Don't get distracted. Everybody's distracted these days. The body of Christ, the church of Christ cannot be distracted like the world is being distracted right now. We have to discern the deception. We got to be about saving souls. Jesus Christ said, go ye therefore and make disciples and then teach them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God said he's with us till the end of the world. So we're here, God's with us, and we have to be busy. I couldn't think of a better time to be a Christian, to be excited about being a Christian, because folks are trying to figure this thing out, because it's falling apart. It's already been written about in the Word. Share the Word with them, not opinions. Don't get caught. Please do not get caught up in opinions. Stick to the Word of God. And if they want to argue with the Word of God, they don't want to say that God exists, then we already read it in Psalms 14. Just pray for them. Cut the conversation. Say, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. But family, it's the perfect time for us. God's called us for such a time as this. It's our season as the body of Christ. Because folks, it is too much going on. So much happens day to day. It's changing day to day. And it's global. Because the syndemic is global. So here we are, we pick up Christ. He's speaking to some of the disciples and some of the others that are around him. In Luke chapter 13, verse 1. And they want to point fingers about whose sin is bigger and why certain things happen to certain people. And Christ doesn't let that slide. Let's read it. Chapter 13, verse 1, Luke. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. They were into all kind of stuff. Pilate killed them and mixed their blood with the sacrifices. It's a horrible scene. And they're trying to tell Jesus about it. Jesus said, well, let me ask you something. Verse 2, and Jesus answering and said to him, do you suppose that the Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such? Do you think that their sin got them caught up? You know, you think they were the worst sinners in the world? That's why that happened to them. And then verse 3, Jesus, I tell you, no, but except you repent, you're going to likewise perish. They're trying to tell Jesus about everybody else's sin. Jesus said, yeah, wow, they're probably the worst sinners in the world, honey. Go, yeah, yeah. Jesus said, no, they're not. Except you repent, you're going to perish too. It's not about them. It's about you. You can't go all half cocked because of somebody's color or where they're from or how they act because you think they're the worst. They deserved it. No, Jesus said, no, no, no. Unless you repent, unless you get born again, you're going to perish too. Remember, it's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. And we're all in the middle of it. We want to point fingers at who's the worst. And God said, no, it's not like that. Unless you repent, you're going to perish too. You're going right to hell with them. Ain't that something? Think about it. You spend your whole life hating people, and you got all this hatred and sin in your heart. They die and go to hell for eternity, and then you die. As much as you hated them, you die, and you go to hell to be with them for eternity. Now, that's some satanic foolishness for you. To get you deceived to hate, so you go be with those that hate. Think about that. You hate them so much, you're going to spend eternity with them. That's the irony of this whole thing. And Jesus is saying, unless you repent, because your works are like filthy rags too, and you're going to stand before God, clothed in your filthy rags and get sent from the presence of God right to hell. Verse 4. Are those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell? So it's 18 people. I guess it was an earthquake. It was bad construction. And the tower fell on the 18 people. Right? We see things that happen all the time, whether it's earthquakes or tsunamis or fires or floods, and people die. And we say, well, they probably deserved it. You know, that's human nature. We want to point the finger. They must have did something bad for that to happen to them. So they posed a natural disaster question to Jesus. When natural disasters happen, it happened to people who deserve it, right? Verse 4, Jesus says, of those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, think you that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Oh, yeah, they're probably worse. They probably deserve that, huh? Jesus doesn't let them off the hook. In verse 5, he says, no, I tell you no, but except you repent, you're going to likewise perish too. We want to point the fingers. We want somebody else to be the worst sinners in the world, that they deserved it. So then we could feel good about ourselves. Christ doesn't let us off the hook. says, you got to repent. I got to repent. You got to repent. We got to accept repent and accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. When he's on the cross, he said, it's finished. Stop trying to work for your salvation. Receive the free gift and then start working for God. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. Let me say that again. You can't work to be saved, but once you are saved, then you work for God because you are saved, not to be saved. The enemy's flipped the picture and he makes you think that you have to do something to be saved. You don't. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever comes to trust Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but through Christ, the world would be rescued. God gave a free gift. Joshua said in the Old Testament, choose you this day. It's a choice. You tell God, I'm good. I got this. I'll come to you clothed in my filthy rags and stinking. And I'll come like that. And you'll see all the good work I did. And you'll make an exception. It's not going to work like that. It's not going to work like that. And think about it. While we were in that condition, clothed in feces, when we were clothed, Christ died for us and said, I'm going to clean them up. We didn't care about God. We're walking around thinking we got it going on. Didn't care about Christ. Christ said, I'm going to go in and die for them so they can be cleaned up. Because it's going to come a time when they're going to want to get their life right. They're going to get to the end of themselves and realize, man, if this is all it is, it's empty. And what's the point? And then Christ said, then I'm going to be there. I'm going to send someone their way and let them know that they can have a born again new life in Jesus Christ and work for God, work for the true and living God. How cool is that? How special is that? You and I get to work for the true and living God. If this word is true as we believe it to be, then we get to work for the true and living God. How cool is that? But while we were clothed in feces, God died for us to clean us up. We didn't care about God. We didn't deserve it. You and I will never deserve it. You bet not ever ask God, give me what I deserve, because you don't want what you deserve. Because you're walking around clothed in boo-boo feces, clothed in it from head to toe. If you get what you deserve, it's get out of here. So I never want what I deserve. I want the mercy of God. I want the grace of God, which is Jesus Christ, which died for my sins and cleansed me up. And that's why you and I should work for God like there's no tomorrow, because one day we're going to be right. And he's going to call us home and we're going to stand before him. And only what we've done for Christ will last. Only what we do for Christ. Everything else is that robe from head to toe of feces. Okay, let's wrap this up. Oh, let's wrap it up. Let's go to Jeremiah. We got a few more minutes. Oh, let's go here. Jeremiah 17, because some of y'all are out saying, well, you know, Pastor, I got a good heart. Saying, oh, Pastor, I'm led by my heart. That's what you don't want to be led by. Let's make it plain, and then we're going to go ahead and table it. Oh, my gosh, so much more. Remember, family, I'm always excited to share for you, not because of the sin, but because of the solution. I got so much more in my notes, and I never get through my notes. From the first day I started here at South Bay Abundant Life Church, I didn't get through my message. I got halfway through. Some kind of way I just never make it through my notes. But I thank God, if it's the will of God, we'll be here next Sunday to keep this message going. But did you go to Jeremiah 17 and verse 9? Because some of you are saying, well, Pastor, you know, I have a pretty good heart. And I think that what I'm doing is right. I think the mind that God gave you to think with, you think it's right, where God's trying to show you that I need you to get your mind renewed so you can see what I see. So our hearts can be connected so you can see differently. Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart. Oh, I'm going to just follow my heart. Please don't do that. I'm going to go with my heart on this one. No, it says it's deceitful above all things. It's crafty above all things. It's nothing like the heart. You and I don't even know what our heart could do. We see the results of it. We see foolishness. We see hatred. We see that came out of somebody's heart. How could you do that to another human? Because it came out of your heart, because it's deceitful and desperately wicked, incurably sick. The only cure for a sick heart is Jesus Christ and being connected to God. So don't tell me you're just going to follow your heart. You got to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ so God can move through your heart. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, incurably sick. Who can know it? You don't even know it. Family, you're thinking about how could you do that? How could you have your knee on somebody's neck for almost 9 minutes and watch the life go out of them? Because your heart is wicked and incurably sick. How can you kill a baby, stick a needle in a baby's neck before it's even born and kill it and call it a choice? Because your heart is incurably sick. How can you treat another human like that? How can you act? Because the heart, please don't follow your heart. Give your heart and life to Jesus Christ because it's incurably sick. Look at verse 10. It says, the Lord searched the heart. That word search in the Hebrew, it means God investigates your heart. God is investigating your heart. Look at this. Look at it. Don't miss this. Please write this down. The Lord is investigating your heart. And he tests the mind. God is testing your heart and your mind to let you see who you really are. Because we really don't know until we're under the test. You don't know how smart you are. You don't know how saved you are. You don't know how connected to God you are until you take that test. And it says God is testing your heart and your mind so he can reveal to you what's in you. And then once God reveals it to me, what's in me, then I confess and I forsake it. And say, God, forgive me. I didn't even know. But under the test, under the pressure, I realized, God, I'm not as saved. I'm not as sanctified as I thought I was. Because I thought I had a good heart, but it's deceitful and desperately wicked. It'll do anything if it's not connected to Christ. So make sure you just don't try and paint it with a broad brush. Well, I just follow my heart and I'm good. Not according to the scripture. You're still covered in feces because that heart is desperately wicked. And God's going to test it. For those of you that are born again, I would say right now in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this sin-demic, in the midst of everything we're going through, God is really testing our hearts to see if we can trust him, to see if we're committed to him, to see if we're ashamed of him. Are we ashamed to speak up for God now because of the pressure of society telling us a life is worth more than a soul? Because if a black life matters, a black soul definitely matters. And remember, a black soul has nothing to do with color. All souls are dark until they're born again. So that means whatever you look like, wherever you're from, I'm coming after you to share Jesus Christ with you because you need to be saved. God doesn't discriminate and neither do we. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means everybody has a dark soul until they're born again. Everybody's covered in feces. I don't care what you look like on the outside. I don't care how big your house is. I don't care what you drive. I don't care how nice your suit looks. I don't care what your makeup looks like. In God's eyes, until you're born again, you're just covered in feces, waiting to die and stand before God because your works stink. But the good news is, and we'll end with this, and then we'll pick it up next week. But the good news is, Christ has come to give us life and that more abundantly. The scriptures are clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let's go back to Acts, because this is, we'll pick it up next week, Acts 16:30. See, now when this jailer is calling out, what must I do to be saved? Now we know why. Because he got to the point where he realized his life was covered in feces and everything he had worked for, all his training, all his medals, all his accommodations, they got him to this point where he says, I need to be saved. This is filthy rags. It's my works, but it's covered in feces and I need help. And I'm hoping you and I have gotten to that point this morning where we realize the only thing we can offer God stinks. And so now that we know why we must be saved, Verse 30, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And now that we know why we need to be saved, now we can answer the question, what must I do to be saved? And that's where we'll pick it up next week. If you would, bow your heads. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, as we, when we put ourselves and we compare ourselves next to your holiness, God, we are covered in boo-boo from head to toe. And we realize we need help. We need a savior. So God, we confess and we forsake the sin. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for saving us, dying on that cross, giving us the opportunity, as it says in John 3:3, that we can be born again. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we can be born again. When I stand before you, Lord, I will not be covered in feces. I'll be cleansed. I'll be supernaturally cleansed. My heart, my mind will be changed. It'll be connected to God. And you will look and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom, not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus Christ did. Because he said it's finished on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if we confess it with our mouth, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe and trust in our heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, starting with the resurrection of Christ, we shall be saved. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto righteousness, and with the heart man believes unto salvation. God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for salvation today. So we went through the scriptures and saw that it's none righteous. We're not on your level. Then we dig deeper in the scriptures and see that we're clothed in boo-boo. And that's the best we can do. And then we look in the scriptures and see that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and we don't even know it. All the internal things, and the word tells us, God, we need to be saved. And then we read the scriptures and they say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the best news we've heard. And that's what we got to march in and start telling folks, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's about your soul now. Life is going to pass away. Your soul does not dissolve upon death. So, Lord, may this message resonate in our hearts. May this message resonate in our hearts forever, all week. May we share it. May we go over the scriptures and search them as the Bereans did to see if these things are so or not. And then may we live a transformed life in Jesus Christ. God, we need you today more than ever. Thank you for your word. May we live this word, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe you hear you saying, Pastor, I just kind of just joined the broadcast and I heard you talking about salvation. I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. It's my personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you have, and you need to rededicate your life. If you need to rededicate, the Bible's clear. It says if we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think about that, and especially with the illustration of being clothed in just nastiness from head to toe. We confess our sins. We ask God to forgive us. He cleanses us of all that unrighteousness. That's why when we stand before him, we're cleansed. But we have to confess that. If after you confess your sins and you ask God, what was the last sin I committed? God says, I don't remember. I've cleansed you from that. I've cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. So if you're rededicating your life, you don't have to live in shame and condemnation and guilt anymore. Confess that sin. Start living for God. If there's consequences you got to deal with, you deal with that. But we all have to deal with consequences. of our actions. But it has nothing to do with your salvation, has nothing to do with you being cleansed in God. That's done. Now deal and live right and keep living for God. Start working for God now. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I'm tired of being unclean and walking around in feces, thinking I got it going on. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, so that I can live for you. Renew my heart, renew my mind. Lord, the scripture says, if any man, any woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. God, I want to be that new creation. I want to be born again of water and spirit. Thank you for saving me today. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, Lord. Once again, Jesus Christ, I invite you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can live for you. Thank you for resurrecting for me on that third day, cleansing me from all sins. I love you, Lord. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And again, if you've prayed that prayer, please email me at life@southbayalc.com. I'll give you 10 steps after you've accepted Christ. Even if you want to rededicate your life, I'll give you 10 steps to follow after you've rededicated your life so that you can continue to live a victorious life in Christ. You don't have to live a defeated lifestyle, and there's things that you can put in place to help you live a victorious life and then help show you how to share Christ with others. Even if you don't know any scripture, there's still things that you can do, and I can show you how to share Christ with others. Well, family, I've kept you a little bit longer than I had anticipated, but I do want to remind you that we have a members meeting today at 2 p.m. If you have not received the Zoom coordinates, please email me at life@southbayalc.com. I will get you the Zoom coordinates. Meeting will be about 30 minutes. Have an agenda. We'll go over some things. We'll talk about how it will look when we reopen the church and even a date and just some other things that we can talk about then. Also, Bible study Wednesday night, 2 Samuel chapter 15. You don't want to miss it. It has been really incredible to journey with you all through the Word. So I want to encourage you to be there Wednesday night. We start at 6:30. I try and have you off by 7:30. We wrap it up, start wrapping it up at 7:30. So it's just an hour, but an hour that will change your life. And then for those of you who want to give, you can go right to our website, southbayalc.com. And I just want to thank you for your giving. You've been very generous. Our goal is just to get the message out to the world, and you're helping us to do that. So we're very thankful. And then if you have any prayer needs or prayer requests, life@southbayalc.com. That's the email for all your requests, questions, spiritual prayer needs that you may have. And we're just grateful to be on this journey of faith with you. So let us close out. Bow your heads. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Thank you for the abundant life that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word that shows us how to live, how to forgive, how to think, how to act, how to live as mature Christians in Christ. We love you for it, Lord. Bless the remainder of our day. Send someone our way, Lord, that we can share Jesus Christ with today. And we love you and we thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, family. Members, I will see you at 2 p.m. today. Looking forward to it. And if you've been visiting via Facebook or Zoom and you would like to be a member, email me at life@southbayalc.com. We'll let you know what you need to do to become a member. And we'd love to have you at our members meeting today as well. So just email me if that is your request. God bless you, family. I love you. I don't know if I told you all that in a long time, but y'all, South Bay Abundant Life Church, friends, family, I love you. I miss you all dearly. But we got to stay in this word. We got to get the word out. The world's falling apart. They need the word. They don't need opinions. They don't need the news. They need the word of God. Share the word with them. God bless you. I'll see you at 2, or either I'll see you Wednesday, and I'll see you next Sunday. God bless.